Father, thank you for the opportunity and privilege, Lord, to be here this evening. I pray that you'd use our preacher now, and Lord, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, please deal with us. We love you. Thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read the first 8 verses together. We're in lesson 38 this week on the life of Moses. We have just a few left. I'm not exactly sure how many, but we're winding down. How's that sound? And we're going to pick up another topic here and have some fun with it. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Muscadites. Oh, that's not there. 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, of course, we are here in the book of Deuteronomy. That word Deuteronomy meaning second law, or the second time the law is given. Remember, the Jews had been wandering for 40 years because they had disobeyed God and would not go into Canaan when the spies were sent into the land. And they had to wander. Everybody from the age of 20 and up were dead except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. And Moses is about to die. You'll see he dies at the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy only encompasses about 30 days or less. It's only a few weeks. This is Moses' last big thing that he does before he dies. And God is making sure that every generation hears from his own words, his own mouth, the exact words that he expected of the Jews as they go and settle the land of Canaan. Now, tonight I want to show you one of the warnings God gave the Jews. It's going to sound kind of strange. The warning about victory. The warning about winning. Winning or victory is a wonderful thing. But success has destroyed as many or more people than failure has.
Yes, sir.
More people are ruined at the top than are ruined at the bottom.
Yes,
sir. You see, God knows how pride is affected by success. The more successful you get, the harder it is to be spiritual. Let me show you what I mean. You go knock doors downtown Martinsburg, where Skid Row, it's pretty easy going soul when people stand there and talk to you. Go to the multi-million dollar estates and start knocking doors once.
Right.
Find out how hard it is to win souls there.
Yes, sir.
God wanted the Jews to be successful. God wanted his people to be successful. God wants you to be successful. But he also knows there's a curse that goes with success. That's pride. If you're not careful, pride will destroy you. God understood what was going to ruin the children of Israel about the land that flowed with milk and honey. And he said, I'm going to warn you about this. Now, the Jews still had many battles to fight. But they were going in and amongst the heathen people. They were going in with the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, all the other ites that were there. And he said, look, I don't want you to go in and be friends with them. I want you to go in and conquer them. I.e., like President Trump wants to do, i.e., not like the last excuse for a president we had wanted to do. He said, I don't want you to join with them. I want you to take over what they had and push them out. God didn't want any covenant with them. He didn't want them showing mercy on them. This may sound cruel to you, but God did not want his people destroyed. He said, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to destroy the enemy in your life. Now, the Jews were going into a land that hated God. Did you know the Palestinians still hate the Jews to this day? Do you know who the Palestinians are? They're Muslims. They are the descendants of Ishmael. The Muslim people are the descendants of Ishmael, the illegitimate son of Abraham.
Yep.
A Muslim will tell you that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but that he's co-equal with Muhammad, because Muhammad is the son of Ishmael. And Ishmael was born before Isaac. Just because he was born first doesn't mean it was God's promise. And the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, or the Muslims, to this day came because of Abraham disobeying God, getting ahead of God. Now, they were going into a land that hated God. They worshipped false gods. They did not believe in Jehovah God. They wanted their own religion. They wanted their own way of worship. And pardon me, I don't mean to disrespect anybody, and I hope this is not totally disrespectful. There's a lot to do about Billy Graham's death. And I'm to some degree glad at least they're honoring somebody that was a saved man, but Billy Graham was about as far from our kind of Christianity in the last 50 years as the Pope is.
Yes, sir.
I hate to say it that way. Now, I know people that have been saved under Billy Graham. But back in the 1970s, Billy Graham got up around the world and said, I'm not sure there's any place called hell. Well, if you don't believe in a place called hell, you're believing the wrong doctrine of the Bible.
You're right.
And I got a problem with you. Billy Graham called the Pope a great Christian. When he met with him, kissed his ring and everything. God knows if I got that close, I'd bite the stupid thing off, swallow it, and get it back 2 days later. God knows. I'm not yoking up with that crowd. Now, I'm for the fact that at least Christianity's getting a little bit of recognition. But notice it takes a liberal Christian to get it. Everybody doing all right? Okay. God knew the Jews were going into heathen, false god worshiping people. And he already knew the Jews were prone to following false gods. Look what they came out of Egypt with.
Right.
They hadn't even been out of Egypt 30 days and they made a golden calf. One of the gods of Egypt. Now, I say that to say this. God knew they needed to totally get rid of everyone in the Canaan land because the false gods would destroy their success. God was telling them to do this because of his love, not because God hated people. I am so sick and tired of people that want to judge God over the fact, well, if a loving God was in control, how come he let all those people get shot in Florida? Can I tell you something? Who kicked God out of the public schools?
How about we let God have control? Bring the preachers back in, let them preach a snot out of those teenagers every day, and I promise you one thing, you won't have school shootings. How is it that in fundamental Baptist Christian schools you're not having school shootings? They kicked God out, now you want to blame God that it's his fault? Took prayer out of schools? Took the Bible out of schools? Took the teaching of Christianity out of schools? Oh, we can teach about the Muslims. We can teach about the Quran. We can teach all of the wrong history. We can teach evolution that is totally against God. And that's okay. And now somebody gets hurt and it's God's fault? I disagree.
Amen.
Say, well, it just doesn't sound right that God would do this. That's cruel to you. It was love. God loved his people so much, he didn't want them messing up. Just like young people who have parents that put the screws on about who they spend time with and what they do when with their music. And well, you don't want me to have any fun. No, I love you enough to tell you, no, you're not doing that.
Right.
You don't know the end like I know the end.
Yes, sir.
You haven't pulled people out of the ditch like I have. God made it very clear how that he wanted the enemy, the false God worshiper, handled in the promised land. He wanted them destroyed and out of the land totally. He wanted no deals with them. He wanted no mercy shown. And by the way, he wanted none of the original inhabitants of the land left when they took over. None. Now, let me give you three or four thoughts here and I'll get us home. Number one, you ready? He said, make no covenants with them. Look at verse number two, about the middle of the verse. And utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them. No covenant. The word covenant means a league or official agreement for profit. Brother Mike, your company does contracts with people. Let's say they're going to work with, and this is, I don't think you're doing the Procter & Gamble project, but if they were, let's say they were going to go down and do some work for them, and it was going to be a $5 million contract. They would make an official contract, they would haggle it out price-wise, and then Brother Mike's company and Procter & Gamble would both sign this agreement that this is what they're going to pay for the project. That's called a covenant. That's a league. That is an agreement for profit. Profit for your company. Eventually, profit for Procter & Gamble, because that's how they're going to make their product. So it was for profit. It wasn't just, oh, hi there, let's be friends. It wasn't that kind of league. It was a league for making money. In other words, get this. God did not want the inhabitants staying and doing their work and let the Jews, let them stay there and let them become their slaves and make the money for them. He said, no, get rid of them. Too many people want to yoke up with the world and let the world make their money for them, and they end up just like the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the love of the world is at enmity with God. Hello? That means the people of the world. He knew the Jews could have it easier with these covenants, with these leagues, with these mergers. But he said, I'm not asking you to take the easy way out. I want you to take the right way out. And I want you to have success that is continued for generation after generation after generation, not just while you're there. Can I show you something that takes place? Asa, come on up here. I want you to stand over here by Brother Mike. Let's see here. Brother Mike, why don't you come on up over here? I need an older guy. You stand right here. I said older, not old. If I wanted old, I'd have Fred up here, but it'd take 3 hours. Now, wait a minute. This guy right here, he's old and crusty and hard enough. He could probably handle himself with the world and not become like them. he could make a league with them and get along with them. But when he
passes off the scene, and this one comes up
and has to be the deal maker, not sure he's strong enough to do it. He hadn't been through all the battles
this one's been through.
And when this one's children come on the scene, they've never even seen that one. Sometimes people make mistakes because they don't look far enough down the road. Thank you, fellas. You can have a seat.
I should have just put you on the same side. I wouldn't have had you cross there, but I wasn't thinking. I was preaching.
I watch preachers. They'll set up their church and they'll run it for them. The new generation takes over and destroy it. Can I tell you why? They set it up for failure. They set it up to run for them. They didn't set it up to run right forever.
Right.
Brother Mike, if I die today, I'm not appointing a pastor. This church needs to get together, get a hold of God, take some time, beg God for the right man to take over this church. It's not an empire. Not my job to pick the next pastor of this church. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going anywhere. Don't worry. If I'm going anywhere, it's up and out. But let me tell you something. I know pastors, they'll quit their church and then they try to put this person in, put that person in, put this person in, and it becomes an empire. This is not a dynasty. This is God's work.
Yes, sir.
You have some all-night prayer meetings with the pulpit committee, and you get a hold of a man of God, and you pray like you've never prayed before and get the right man in here. That's how you pick a man of God. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Things are neat, but things don't make a church. Technology doesn't make a church. I don't care how many gadgets and gadgets you got. I don't care if the preacher can sit at home and use his cell phone to turn the lights on and lock the doors and tell the police not to show up, and he can tell the dog to get in his house at the guard shack at the church or whatever. Then you got all your cute little outlines you put with the bouncy balls on the screens and all that kind of stuff. Technology's fine, but technology doesn't change a church in the right direction. I don't know one of them going that direction that's winning souls like they used to. Most of them are shutting their buses down to put that stuff up. Everybody doing okay? Why do we want to be like the world? God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, you're just so old-fashioned, preacher. Thank you. God said, by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
And call me what you want. Number two. God said, show no mercy unto them. This one sounds rough, because it is. He said, don't feel sorry for the people that live there. Don't have pity on them.
Brother Mike, you and I both have been on the mission field. Nothing will change somebody's heart like going to the mission field. And someday we're going to take our teenagers on a missions trip.
I want to take young people to see what the rest of the world lives like. It'll change your life. But may I say something? When you're going into God-hating places and you're going to take over a land, you can't look at them and have pity on them. God said, they had their chance. They don't want me. Now it's time for my people to take over. Get them out of the way. Age, gender, ability, wealth, etc. have no part in the destruction. Destroy them all. He said, destroy the children, destroy the adults, destroy the old people, destroy the wealthy people, destroy the poor people. Get rid of them all because they're all God-hating people. One of the worst things we can do, and please pardon me for saying this, is go over into some of these Muslim countries get rid of ISIS and build schools and build buildings for the ISIS's children to be reared in. We're rearing the next generation of warriors against us.
You killed my daddy. I'll take your money and learn how to kill you. That's what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
You see, the Jews were not to be apologetic for obeying God. You know, I make no apology for obeying God. I really don't. Now, I'm not unkind. I'm not rude. And you men, and Mrs. Barnes was signing papers over with Mr. Pill. Mr. Pill's a decent man. He's a Methodist. We can forgive him for that. We'll turn him into a Baptist. He said, how's the church doing, Pastor? He said, are you maintaining? Are you able to grow? I said, well, in a situation like ours, you get some, you lose some, you get some, you lose some. I said, we're about where we were, but it's a different, we are. He said, I don't know how you do it. He said, well, I do. He said, I have never, since you moved in, he said, I have never been to this property before you have. He said, doesn't matter what day of the week. He said, it doesn't surprise me. He said, I've never seen any pastor put the hours in you put in. And I said, well, when you're as dumb as I am, you got to put more hours in. I said, but it's called the work of the Lord, not the sit of the Lord. He said, never heard a pastor say that. I said, it's the work of the Lord. I said, why should you work harder than me? I said, you're a successful man. How'd you do it? I said, he got here earlier, stayed here late. I said, work same way in church work. I said, God blesses, hard work. He said, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this building. He said, you're going to be building another one before too long, aren't you? I said, mm-hmm, that's why I got plans drawn for two. He said, you do? I said, I do. He said, you already got it? I said, that's why it took so long, because they were screwing around with phase two of this thing with the site plan. He said, now that makes sense. You see, you're not to go easy on God's enemies. You know, I have no problem preaching against the liberals. I have no problem preaching against false religion. I have zero tolerance for it. Now, I don't preach against the people. I'll preach against the wrongdoing of it. You say, why? Because feelings don't matter. Right and wrong matters.
Yes, sir.
Brother Mike, I love you, but you get up in Sunday school and say the King James Bible is not the Word of God, the NIV is, you and I are going to part ways. And the first time I ever get up and say, you can get to heaven by getting baptized or joining this church, not by getting saved, we ought to part ways.
Yeah.
By the way, that's not happening.
Amen.
Say, what is that? Don't show mercy on God's enemies. I got to be careful. I'll move on here. Number three. This one's going to twist a few tails, but hang in there. They were not to date or marry anybody in the land.
That's right.
Look at verse number three. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly.
That's right. That's really true.
Keep your kids away from God's enemies. It's that simple. And you stay away from them. They will turn your heart against God, or their hearts will get turned against God, even though yours may not be, but your heart's going to be broken.
Amen.
Lost people and your children should not be interacting. You might have to go to work with lost people, but that doesn't mean you got to date them.
Right.
Your best friends ought not be the lost people of this world. I'm going to say it. Did you know that nice lost people are still lost? Nice lost people are still lost.
I have business associates that are lost as a goose in a snowstorm. They're nice people. But I don't go out to eat with them. I don't go golfing with them. I don't go socialize with them. When I'm interacting with business with them, I'm very kind and cordial with them, like I am everyone else. But may I say this, I'm not going to go spend a bunch of time with them. You know, I don't go golfing with all my business buddies. Say why? Because I don't want to hear what they're going to talk about. I have a man right now I'm working on. I'm going to try to get him in church. As far as I know, he's lost. Happened to find out he likes golf. I'm going to take him a dozen golf balls here before too long. I have no doubt the man's going to ask me to go golfing with him one day, and I'm just going to be too busy to do it. Say why? I'm not mixing that stuff. I don't want to have to take a stand out on the golf course, make him mad at me. I'd like us to be good friends business-wise. How about you come to church and get saved and come join my church, and then we'll talk about going golfing on a men's activity with a whole bunch of men. Going to colleges with lost people will dilute you and then probably move you towards the lost ways, not the positive ways. If you're in a rock rib, soul winning, hellfire, damnation Baptist church, and you don't live on a public college campus, and you're at home going back and forth, you might make it. But about 8 out of 10 end up going the wrong direction that way. Right. If you go live on campus, 10 out of 10 do. Most of the time. 99 out of 100 will. You can't sit in the devil's crowd and live for God. You can't be pumped with the devil's crowd. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, but for every one you show me, I'll show you 300 that didn't. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. You want to look at the exception? Go ahead. You think you're the exception? Probably not. Now, one exception is this. You're in church, staying on a bus route, staying soul winning, staying doing what you're supposed to do, and commuting back and forth, that's one thing. But don't live on campus. And be careful what areas you go to. You're going to get into psychology, you're going to get messed up.
That's right.
Promise you. Those shrinks need shrinks. You know why they call them shrinks? Because they have small brains. They ain't real smart. Keep yourself from the world and worldly appetites. Keep your children from the world and worldly appetites. Don't let them listen to the rock music. Don't let them dress like the world. Don't let them talk like the world. We have too many Christians talking like the world. They doing okay? Be careful who their associations are. Oh, we're strong enough. We can do it. Your kids aren't. Your kids aren't as strong as you think they are. Good night. I grew up preaching from the time I was 13 years old on, and it was still rough. I'm 50 plus years old. I've been in church for over 51 years. I grew up at church. I was there when the lights came on. I was there when, as a matter of fact, most of the time I turned the lights out. I'm still turning lights on and turning lights out of church. Still here early and still here late. Still here for everything there is. And can I tell you something? I'm not strong enough to stay around the world all the time. I'm careful who I associate even with pastors. Because I'm not going to ruin me. I'm not going to ruin you by me associating with that. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm having fun right now. Number four. Look at that. My last point. I have 9 minutes. I'm doing so good. Number four, don't put your shoes on yet. Jesse, put your shoes on. All right, thank you. Number four, God wanted them destroying all of the false religion. Look at verse number five. But thus ye shall deal with them, ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Now look at me for a second here. We have no business messing with the sewage of false religion.
I'm watching Baptist churches play around with the community church mentality. Quit preaching standards. Quit preaching right and wrong. Let's get a big crowd. Let's bring in all of the orchestration and let's bring in some of the rock music. Let's change our music style to appeal to the new culture of the day. Watch out. Watch out. I watch music. Brother Stoltz, you know I watch music. I watch it like a hawk. Brother Stoltz knows I don't allow songs to be sung here or done here that are less than 25 years old. If it was written in the last 25 years, unless it's somebody in this church that wrote it or somebody that I personally know that's a soul winner, it doesn't get done. Because it's not been proven yet. Everybody doing okay? Fundamentalists have decided they're tired of the hymns and the way they sound, so they're gonna keep the same words and they're gonna change the tempo of the music and the timing of everything, and now it's all syncopated. And you can't even recognize it as a hymn anymore. I hate to disappoint you, we're not going that direction.
Amen.
If you're listening to that trash, throw it away.
Yes, sir.
I don't give a flip who puts it out.
Amen.
I don't want anything to do with the sewage of false religion.
I know a church in my hometown concerned about the suicide rates. They called a Christian rock group from Cedarville College, quote-unquote Bible College in Ohio, to come perform for all the 31 local high schools trying to draw a crowd. And they had a non-denominational preacher from Pensacola Christian College come speak to them. Say, what was it? It was a rock fest. I admire their concern about young people, but I will condemn the method they used to get it.
Yes, sir.
Yes. But that's the same church that at one time ran 10,000, now has a prayer and worship team. Praise and worship team that leads their congregational singing with women wearing pants on the platform and their song director who walks around with one of those, you know, Garth Brooks things, clapping his hands and jumping around and everybody jiving on the platform. It shouldn't surprise us. Everybody doing, man, I'm having fun right now. At Cedarville College, they have sodomite. This is a Christian college that has groups for sodomites on campus. That's Bible college, so-called. That's where Liberty's at. Liberty and Cedarville associate. Everybody doing okay? Do you know where the leading Christian rock groups are coming out of schools right now? Liberty University. Most prominent Christian rock groups in America are coming out of Liberty University. Jerry Falwell ought to roll over in his grave. And Jerry Jr. needs to go there quick. I got no stomach for that mess. Everybody doing okay? What is it? We've played with false religion too much. Now we're just like it. See, I don't think you should have named names. Okay, don't do it. I will.
Amen.
We need to get rid of the false religion imagery. Bible talks about the imagery. Verse number 5. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images. That word image doesn't mean the little Mother Mary only. That's graven image. Imagery means the peace sign. You know, the peace sign is the hippies' revolt against the cross. It is a broken cross upside down. It was saying, we hate God, and turn it upside down. Pentagrams, the rainbow for the LGBTQ people.
Right.
The wrong Bible quotes and religious stuff. You know,
let's all wear the beads. What would Jesus do? Oh, such a sweet thing. Folks, that's the imagery of false religion. Amen. I'm not going to let non-local church stuff in our church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm against Awana.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's not local church.
You're right.
It's non-denominational. You can find it in any version of the Bible. There's others that are out there that are similar, but I only know of one that's local church.
We're not to where we're going to use it yet, but when I do, you'll find out. Number next. Say, what should we use? It's called Sunday school. God says we're to live holy, verse number 6. He said, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. You know, holy people are supposed to live holy, not like the world. Holiness is above man, not below man. Your holiness does not make you live above others. It reveals how good God is. Brother Mike, Brother Stoltz, Brother Joe, we signed papers for this tonight. That was holy. I don't know about you. What an honor to put my name on that piece of paper.
Amen.
My hand was trembling almost every one of those. Because that was God's work, not mine.
What an honor. What an honor. Can I tell you something? Now we got to go build. We can't absorb what the world does. We have to live above the world.
It's not because you deserve it. It's because God deserves it. You know, God wants us successful.
Yes, sir.
God wants us to be more successful than the devil. But he's not going to just give it to us. I'm trying to tell somebody that, hey, well, I just believe this. I just believe this. I just believe this. I said, I don't care how much you believe it. You're putting God into the genie bottle and expecting him to do what you say, or God isn't good. I said, why are you obligating God to that? Don't be unwise. Separation is not a badge you wear. It's so that you can draw closer to God. You're not supposed to change your ways separationally to say, look at me. Look at me, I'm something. No, your separation reveals your walk with God. By the way, your lack of separation reveals your walk with God. I'll promise you, you start backing off in standards, your walk with God backed off long before then.
Yes.
Every time. God says he wants us to, he will keep his word, verse number 8, but God wants us to keep our end of the deal. I got to hurry. One more verse and I'm done. This is the conclusion. Look at verse number 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee, watch this, by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee.
Let me put it into modern day terminology and I'll explain it. Brother Mike, he said, don't get rich quick.
Right.
You get it all at one time, you're not going to know how to handle it and it's going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Too many people can't handle big things because they don't understand a big thing is nothing but a series of a bunch of small things. They have to get the whole thing done or they're a failure. No. You got to get step 1 done before you can go to step 2. Then you got to get step 3 done. Then you got to get step 4 done. And you better have sat down and figured out what step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 are. We're at about step number 22 out of step 3,000. Do I want the building done? Yes. But we had to go through all this to get to where we can start that. We had to have this drawn while that was being worked on. And we had to work with the county on it. And we had to go to variance meetings. And we had to go to this meeting. We had to go to that meeting. And we had to fight with the engineer. I mean, had to work with the engineers. and we had to do this and do that. Then we had to go back through and do some of that again and work on getting the loan to pay for it all. And you say, preacher, how in the world do you keep it all going? Because it's already planned out. You got to figure it out. That's why so many people want me to write the book to show them how to go through it the next time. I haven't got to the end to figure out what the end is yet. So I'm not thinking about it. I know what the end is, and I know how to get there, but we're not there yet. Am I frustrated? Not at all. I'm having fun. Say, why? Because I'm not trying to do it all at once. You know, y'all are ready to go out there and start pounding stakes in the ground, putting silt fence up, and start pushing trees over, and it's not time to do that yet. Say, what time is it? Day before yesterday, I walked up to the builder and handed him two sets of prints and four copies of the building permit and said, here you go. The rest of it's yours. You and me are talking. I said, I already stood up in my church and told everybody, it's a construction site. Stay off. Don't go out there and start wandering around and get hurt. And you're not going to tell the builder what to do and his workers what to do. You ask me if you have a question. And if I have a question, I'll take it to the general contractor and he and I will have it let out, not you and him. He said, preacher, my own pastor didn't even do that with me. He said, I just about quit working on the church because of that mess. I said, yeah, and you're not going to have that problem with my people. I said, I already announced it in church twice. He said, man, I knew I was going to like this. Wait a minute. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Too many of you see the elephant and you just give up before you start. You take a bite out of the nose and go eat a bite out of the rump, and then you're going to the shoulder, and then you go to the back shoulder, and then you go to the belly, and you're just trying to eat the whole thing all at one time. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. Just start at one end and start working your way through that thing. Too many people want to get the whole thing done so fast that they don't get anything done or done right. You can't work on the roof till we get the foundation poured. I got people want to put shingles. What kind of shingles are we putting on that building, preacher? Don't know. We got to get the concrete poured first. Can't pour the concrete till we get it all excavated and backfilled and footers poured and rebar in and everything else. Then we'll worry about the walls and the trusses. Then we'll talk about the roof. How's that sound? I got people worried about shingles and we haven't even pushed the dirt yet. Can I tell you something? Don't worry about the shingles till it's time to shingle the roof. Amen? Too many people only see the end as success. Listen to this statement. God sees the journey as success. By little and by little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. God says the journey is the success, not the end result. I'm going to enjoy the journey. I'm going to enjoy the building process. I already got my hard hat in my truck. It says preacher. I'm going to get me a pair of coveralls and a pair of rubber boots to throw in my truck, so I don't ruin all my good shoes and my pants for my wife and I don't lose my happy home. Because I know there's not a day go by I'm not going to be out there wondering what's happening. Now, wait a minute. But I'm not going to talk to the workers either. I'm going to talk to the general contractor. I might howdy with them a little bit, but what are you doing that for? That's not my business. I just want to get dirty, roll in the mud. What's the term used for how fast all that stuff took off with me rolling? It went viral. That was the word. Man, there's people all over the country. I'm still getting texts. Hey, saw you rolling in the mud. Yeah. Who cares? I had a text from Brother Fugit this week. He said, somebody sent me a shot of you rolling in the mud. He said, looked like fun. I thought, that's all I needed right now. Who cares? Can I tell you something? Let's enjoy the journey. Some people won't be happy till we get to the end. Okay, but I'm going to be happy on each step of it. How about you?
Let's enjoy the journey. Success doesn't come all at once. It is a journey. It's a long process. God says enjoy the process, because when you pay the price and you get through the whole process, the success then starts multiplying. And you'll be able to handle it. You'll be strong enough to take it.